From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's USDA Report Day, January the 11th, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market, and we'll hear Daryl Good's reaction to this morning's releases. It all happens during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. In fact, there you can already find Daryl Good's reaction. It's posted at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Friday afternoon, USDA report day, nearby March contract for the soft red winter wheat, a gain of 12 cents today to settle at $7.56.5. That's actually a close and not a settlement price. July closed on its last trade at $7.70. It finished 9.75 higher. The hard red in Kansas City, a close there at $8.25, up 10.5 cents for the nearby July contract. That, of course, is also the harvest month. March futures in the corn pit from Chicago, a $7.75 close. Close up 9 on the end of the day. May futures at 7.07¾, up 10.25, and the last trade in the July at $7.5, up a dime. September 6.12¼, up a nickel, and then the December futures for the new crop down 5.25 at $5.78¾. Next year's March contract in the corn pit at $5.87½, down 6¾. In May 2014 at $5.98½, down 3 cents. January soybeans were up 4.5 cents today to settle at $14.22. The March at $13.69, down 10¾. The May at $13.66¼, down 5¼. And July beans at $13.59½, 7¾ lower. November contract of next year at $12.72. The new crop finished a dime lower on the afternoon. Bean meal futures January contract down $2.70 at $4.06. Bean oil at $49.22, finished 17 cents lower. Live cattle futures February at $130.60, down 95. April down 52.5 at $134.55. And the feeder cattle finished the January 97.5 cents lower. The settlement price there at $149.87.5. March contract for the feeders at $151.45 for 100 pounds, down $1.47.5. And April lean hogs today settled $87.12.5, up 2.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil February contract, $93.66 a barrel, 15 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline at $2.73½, that's down 5 7/10 of a cent. Natural gas, or ethanol rather, trading at $2.28½, 4 cents higher on the day. Now the natural gas at $3.33¼, that's 14 1/10 of a cent higher. Heating oil trading at $3.01½, down 4 3/10. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,660.60 an ounce, down $17.40 the dollar, down 0.18 at 79.55. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 59. This evening, partly cloudy and 49. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers. That'll come afternoon, mostly cloudy, a temperature rising to 51 by 11. Then she'll turn around and head down to 43 during the remainder of the day. South-southwest winds at 8 to 14. They'll turn to the northwest by the afternoon. Could gust as high as 20 miles per hour. On a Sunday, or rather Saturday evening, rain before midnight, then snow, low of 26, 80% coverage. Sunday, a 30% chance of snow before noon. Mostly cloudy and a high of 28 on a northwest wind. At about 11 miles an hour, that'll gust all the way to 16. And Sunday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 15 degrees. Monday, mostly sunny and 26. Monday night, partly cloudy and 17. Tuesday, sunny skies and 30 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 17. Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high near 33. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 20 degrees. On Thursday, sunny skies, a high near 30.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Several things to keep in mind next week. I'll be on the road again Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the Paradise Hotel in Peoria Monday in Moline downtown at the IMARC. And then on Wednesday, we'll be in Malta at Kishwaukee College. All of those for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. I think it's $75 if you'd like to walk in, and certainly walk-ins are welcome. Registration starts at about 8 o'clock each and every day of those 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, again in Peoria, Moline, and then in Malta at Kishwaukee up near DeKalb. So if you'd like to come, we sure would like to see you there. The other item, and we're about two-thirds of the way to my personal goal for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. Orion will be in to sign books, and Dave Dickey will be there along with myself and Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson, Paul Cooley, those folks that helped to purchase a little pork from the Salute to Ag football game that was auctioned off on Orion's behalf for scholarships, and we thought we'd try to sell it again one more time. So for a $100 bill, you get to get a copy of Orion's book. He'll sign it and be there to personalize it for you. We'll put on a little Ag Outlook. ADM Investor Services' Steve Freed will be on that panel along with Gary Schnitke. You can find that on our website at Voices for Illinois Agriculture at willag.org and register. You'll find a way to make a phone call there, too. I'll give you that number a bit later in the program. Well, it is the 11th day of January. On the phone line with us to take up the agricultural futures markets and USDA's reports from this morning, Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Todd. Doing well. Thank you.
Well, how did the 11 o'clock release, central time that is, go for you?
I think it went a lot better because the numbers were a lot better. I think that's really what it boiled down to, is that this was a crucial report to hold the charts and hold the technicals and keep the sentiment from turning even more negative than it has been the last 30 days. And I think this report has been able to create somewhat of a pause in the trader psychology as far as the commodity fund trader psychology to see whether the supplies now are falling faster than demand, because we did see that 3% cut in U.S. corn ending stocks and 5% cut in wheat ending stocks versus last month. So I think this is a needed pause and something that will give the market a chance to look at the supply-demand numbers over the weekend, Todd, and say, okay, if we have this tight of a corn supply and the hard red winter wheat acres, when you went down the seedings report, much, much smaller in Kansas, much, much smaller in Colorado, really opens the door that the drought can be magnified in terms of importance on the national yield. In other words, the Kansas City crop being smaller, and if the drought doesn't get better, then you're looking at the all-wheat national bushel average maybe being at a top end of 40 bushels. So some of these things, I think, are very welcome for people like me who look at more fundamentals and less at the funds and the hedging of the hedge funds.
So you'd be of a mind that the wheat will be able to maintain the corn, at least in terms of price. And, of course, then we have the 602 million bushel carryout, which is just at pipeline supplies.
Yeah, exactly. And you hit it on the nose. That pipeline supply takes away a major negative fundamental feature to the wheat the last 30 days, and that has been the bearish demand of the corn. And I think we haven't gotten the corn demand back to where we want it, obviously, but we did see ethanol data where the production numbers went up and the supplies went down to near five-week lows. So we are starting to see a turn of the corner as far as the domestic ethanol situation goes, and maybe we'll start to see a turn now by the global end users in corn and the picking up of more demand in the next couple weeks of the global end users and the domestic end users as well because of these corn numbers. And I think that also is a feedback has a feedback loop into the wheat, because corn has been a negative feature to the wheat market here recently. So I wasn't really super pleased with today's close of only a dime higher in both corn and wheat, but technically speaking, we settled right on the September lows in March corn, so we got to where we needed to be. We're still about a nickel or 6 cents away in the March wheat from where I'd really like to be, that 760, and even better yet, 765 level. Close above that, that's our December lows. That would, I think, help the technicals immensely.
Yeah, it's probably important to note that while old crop corn was up a dime, new crop corn managed to lose 7 cents, so there was a 17-cent spread there today.
Exactly, and we saw that in the beans as well. The January beans up 7, November down 15. that's not a negative feature to this trade. I think this is one of the maybe the birth of maybe the cash-driven and basis-driven market rally potential here the next 2 weeks. If we do see this pickup in end-user demand, I think that the idea heading into today's close and maybe over the weekend may be that if we're this tight on corn, if demand does come back around and supply is actually falling faster than demand, all of a sudden that reawakens the acreage battle for between the corn and between the beans, mainly in on the side of the corn, especially if the wheat stocks tighten up even more.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that'll do it, sir.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Don't forget to sign up for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture program. You can do that online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a way to sign up for the program. It's quick, it's simple, and it's easy. Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. USDA released its WASDE and crop production and grain stocks reports this morning at 11 o'clock Central Time. Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, is here to go through those numbers. Let's start with those that you think are most important. What did the trade not expect, and what did you find of most interest, Daryl?
You know, I think that probably the most interesting number was the December 1 stocks of corn at 8.03 billion bushels. Almost 200 million bushels less than the market expected on average, even though the production number was raised by 55 million bushels. The market was looking for a 100 million bushel cut, so you would have thought perhaps the stocks number was going to be bigger than the market expected. It turned out to be smaller, which implies we're feeding corn at a very rapid pace, much faster than the market had expected going into this report. And as a result, the USDA did raise its forecast for the year by 200 or 300 million bushels for total feed and residual use of corn. I guess the surprising thing, you know, is why the market didn't anticipate seeing this high rate of feed use of corn when animal numbers all fall have been pointing that way. Somehow the market had convinced itself that feed use had been cut and or had lost track that a fair amount of new crop corn had already been fed during the summer months and would show up as disappearance in the December stocks number, and it in fact did. So I think it verifies that we are feeding a lot of corn, and was a shock to the market. So we saw corn prices trading lower going into the report and then make a U-turn sharply higher after the report.
When you put this number, the 802, from the grain stocks report, a million bushels, that is, on hand as of December 1st, into context of the marketing year, we finish out with a very, very small ending stocks number.
We do. The USDA has that projected right at 600 million bushels and just over 5% of projected consumption. And I think for the most part, 5% of consumption is pipeline supplies. So they are projecting stocks at pretty low levels, and that's with exports at a 43-year low of 950 million bushels. So if that market should heat up a little bit, and or we find out in March that we're still feeding corn at a pretty fast pace, then it says the rationing job that we thought was done is not quite complete yet. So I think taken together, this report should put some support under old crop corn prices into the spring of the year.
into the spring of the year, but in the commentary from the United States Department of Agriculture, it pushed it a bit further than that, suggesting that old crop prices could stay strong right through the summer months, and also did not change the national average cash grain price for the marketing year.
They did not change it, and I think it's probably too high at this point. Through the first 4 months of the marketing year, we've averaged at less than $7 a bushel. So to average the midpoint of their projection of $7.40 for the year means that we have to see substantial strength in old crop corn prices going forward, with probably well more than half of the crop already sold. So I don't see any way we average $7.40 for the year. I think $7 is probably what we're going to average. And as we get into the summer, yes, old crop stocks are going to be tight, but my guess is we're going to be staring at a very large 2013 harvest by then, and that's probably going to override to some extent the tightness in old crop stocks, and we'll start seeing some weakness in corn prices come June, July.
Do you suggest that this should hold the price of old crop corn, maybe new crop corn, at much higher levels through the February crop insurance setting month, and that will be one of the reasons that the planters roll in the fields once we get to the spring for corn planting?
Yes, I'm not convinced the new crop corn is going to see much strength. We didn't see any follow-through in this report, and there's no reason it would, that there's no new information relative to new crop at this point. I think there's some risk that new crop corn prices continue to lose ground to old crop. Yes, I think the spring insurance price guarantee is going to be probably at least as high as it was last year at $5.68. We're well above that right at the moment. Will that be enough to increase corn acres? I don't think so. I think what we saw in today's report, USDA did raise planted acres numbers for last year a bit. I think we'll do well to hold those numbers. And frankly, I don't think we need any more corn acres for next year. We're probably going to be looking at a huge surplus of corn by fall of the year, and much lower corn prices. And an increase in acreage, I think, would add to that downward movement in prices.
They raised the planted acreage to what, 97, just a bit over 97
million
acres?
Just a bit over 97. And they did lower the
harvested acres,
which we all expected. So the net was we lost about a half a million acres, if you will. If planted acres had not changed, we would have lost about a half a million acres of harvested. But so what we have to recognize, if planted acres stay the same next year as this year, you know, we'll pick up 2.5 million acres of corn harvested over what we harvested this year because of a lot less abandoned acres. And with anything close to a trend yield, we're looking at a 14.5 billion bushel corn crop next year.
That would be right at 90 million acres harvested next fall.
Yes, it would. And of course, there's some concern about yield at this point with the dry weather, particularly in the western part of the U.S., western corn belt into the plain states. But I think there's still time for that to change. And certainly we know from our experience this past year, it's really not the soil moisture condition going into planting that matters. It's what happens during the summer months. So there's a lot of different scenarios that can unfold for new crop corn. You kind of have to decide what makes the most sense and base your expectations on that at this point, and recognize that those expectations may have to change as you go into the late spring and summer. But right now, I think expecting a very large crop next year is probably the most prudent thing to do.
Those producers that have a bit more than gambling stocks of corn left, old crop that is, okay just to hang on to it at this time, or should they market?
You know, I don't think there's a lot of downside risk in old crop corn, and so you might argue to hold on to it, but at the same time, I don't see prices going back to the $8 level that we had late summer, early fall.
Turn your attention to the numbers released by USDA for soybeans.
You know, soybeans are very interesting. The USDA did raise the size of the last year's harvest by about 40 million bushels, but December 1 stocks came in about as I expected. They were within 5 million bushels of the number that I had penciled in, which on the surface says that mystery category of seed, feed, and residual use of soybeans was quite large during the first quarter. So stocks were about as they should have been, even though the production number got bigger, and USDA offset most of that larger crop with an increase in expected crush of soybeans during the year and only raised year-ending stock number by 5 million bushels. So I thought, taken together, knowing that the market expected a bigger production number in this report, that this was a kind of a supportive set of reports for soybeans. Not much change in the size of the South American crop, slightly larger in Brazil, a little bit smaller in Argentina. So I think kind of a neutral set of reports for soybeans released today.
Did they do very much with the export number? Nothing at all, right?
No, they didn't change the export number.
Did that surprise you?
Well, again, it's a case of arithmetic here where we've only got so many soybeans to use, and we can only take our ending stock so low, and so have not raised the soybean export projection, even though those numbers to date are very large. The expectation continues to be that that export program will dwindle very, very rapidly as South American supplies become available.
Interestingly, they lowered the national average cash price by 5 cents on both ends.
On both ends, and I think that's in recognition, again, that when you look at the average price received for the first 4 months of the marketing year on soybeans, it's just only a bit over $14 a bushel. And so I think in recognition that so much of the crop has already been sold, that it's going to be hard to get a much higher average price for the year based on what's left to sell.
But it would be pretty easy to get a much lower price on an individual sale, I would think.
On an individual sale, that's exactly right. But when you're looking at the average price received by all farmers, I think what the data tell us, that when you look at the average price received by farmers in September, October, and November for both corn and soybeans, that average price was well below what the spot market was offering during that period, which says that farmers were delivering a lot of product that they had priced earlier at much lower prices. So that data gets fed into calculating the average price for the year, and that's what's going to keep it relatively modest.
Will farmers be burned again in the coming year if they're willing to sell their crop up front for 2013 season?
You know, I think there's still opportunity to do some marketing on new crop corn and soybeans. The thing that makes it dicey is the timing relative to setting crop insurance prices. We've basically got 6 weeks, 7 weeks to go here to get that price set. And so it's really saying, how much of my crop do I want to price, not yet knowing what my guarantee will be on insurance. But I think there's probably a motivation to sell some of next year's crop in excess of what you think you will have covered by insurance.
Anything in the global stocks, corn, soybeans, wheat, that you found of great interest?
You know, not really much surprising on a global basis in this report. I think as we move through the calendar year, those numbers will become more important.
Brazil, and I don't suppose, given the amount of harvested soybeans that came out of the United States, will be the world's number one producer of soybeans once and if they bring in a decent crop this year.
It looks like they'll be very close to number one. We may retake that position next year, but for this marketing year, it looks like they will outproduce the U.S.
Thank you so much, Darrell.
Thank you.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Hot Toddy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1807, Ezra Cornell was born. Cornell was one of the founders of the Western Union Telegraph Company. He also endowed Cornell University, an agricultural land-grant university, which opened in 1868. In 1850, J.C. Arthur was born, an American botanist. He discovered the basic facts behind plant rusts. He also served as the first head of the Department of Botany and Plant Pathology at Purdue University. In 1874, Gail Borden died. Borden was the inventor of the process for making condensed milk. and founder of the New York Condensed Milk Company. The Civil War brought intensified demand for condensed milk, and sales grew so much that Borden's success was assured. Eventually, he opened five factories, including one in Illinois. In 1889, Calvin Bridges was born, an American geneticist. He advanced understanding of the role of chromosomes in heredity using the fruit fly. And in 1949, the first recorded snowfall occurred in Los Angeles, California. About 3/10 of an inch fell over a 2-day period. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a link to our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event scheduled for the 25th day of January. Or you can just call this number to register at 217-333-9355. Again, that number 217-333-9355.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Let's check the agricultural cash grain markets on the phone line with us, as usual, for Friday, is Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon. It feels like spring out there.
It does feel like spring. So does that mean that farmers are moving about and checking some bins and making sure everything's in good shape and maybe even hauling a little corn, some soybeans to you?
Moving around, things might be getting a little soft in some lots, but we've seen a little bit of grain moving. A lot of it was more in December when the weather was nice, so not a whole lot of activity right now.
This morning, USDA said that we will be really shy of corn by the time we get to the end of the marketing year, just at pipeline levels. I don't suppose that was too unexpected by you. What does it mean for cash bids over the time frame?
Right now, we haven't seen a whole lot of basis activity. The basis really had been relatively quiet. Processors, I think, had put some coverage on out through the early part of, first quarter, say, of 2013 on corn side. So they haven't acted like they wanted to chase it, although we've seen the numbers maybe perking their heads up a little bit in this last week.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 719 on nearby corn and 1389 on soybean.
One other question for you. As you look at the Mississippi River, the rainfall in the Midwest should ease some of the problems there. Although I heard they were tying off many of the tows and just putting them aside because freight rates were so low.
Yeah, it's really ironic. We're making good progress on taking out the rock pinnacles. The Corps is probably ahead of schedule on clearing that. River levels are coming up a little bit with some rain. But the demand is so weak, barge freight levels are low enough that the barge lines are tying their freight off. So really ironic. We get out of looks like we get a little breathing room on the river levels, and the demand's just not there.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Hey, don't forget to tune in either to our website or to one of our radio stations for Commodity Week. Our guest this week is Alan Brugler. He's a Brugler Management out of Omaha, Nebraska. We record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons. That's not too far away. And post up to our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.O-R-G, by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening, Central Time. That's at W-I-L-L-A-G.O-R-G. Have a great weekend, and I hope to see you at one of next week's Corn and Soybean Classic Series in Peoria and Moline and Malta. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.